Scientists have developed a new message to send into outer space to see if anyone or anything is out there to respond. This comes roughly 5 decades after the first message went out from the Arecibo telescope on Puerto Rico and includes some updated technology and science. Joining me to talk more about this is exoplanet astronomer Stuart F. Taylor, who's an affiliate with the SETI Institute in California. And Stuart, what's happened in the past? How often have messages been sent out and what have they said?
Well, there's been a few messages. The most famous ones are the message sent with the Voyager spacecraft. Those are physical messages. And the 1974 Arecibo radio telescope message broadcast towards a globular cluster. And there actually have been several other messages sent out. So we've incorporated in our planning from all of those earlier messages.
So what did you take from some of those earlier messages and how did you maybe try to update it for 2022?
We took some of the basic design that came from people like Frank Drake and Carl Sagan, the idea of trying to have some very simple communications about who we are, where we are, but we've updated them some. We've tried to give an indication, as was done previously, our location, though we've updated the method to use globular clusters instead of pulsars, to give the time of message and to tell a little bit about ourselves in general.
Why did now seem like the right time to do this?
It's easy to think about now being almost 50 years after the Arecibo message, that's kind of a convenient anniversary. But probably more significant is the fact that we've found so many extrasolar planets that now we have a much better idea what the distribution of planets are. When in 1974, we didn't have any idea except from what we could see in our solar system. There were people, I remember, that wondered if there were any planets outside our solar system at all.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that the message itself is roughly the same and has been roughly the same since that original one in 1974. But really what's changed is maybe the way you're delivering it and maybe some of the details about what you're saying?
We've expanded it quite a bit. So there are quite a few modifications. For example, the original Voyager message had a man and a woman standing with the man waving hello. Well, we thought we should be a little bit more modern, that women can wave hello just as much. So we, a co-author suggested have her hand raised and we all readily agreed. There's a lot more of the new science. We have a much better idea of the age of the universe. We're using globular clusters instead of pulsars because we realized the pulsars that were used earlier will likely change by the time anyone receives it. So there's been a lot of updates.
And how exactly are you sending these messages out and how are you choosing where to send them?
We would be sending them as radio broadcasts and we've designed our message to be something that could be sent by either the FAST radio telescope in Guizhou, China, or the Allen telescope in California, run by the SETI Institute. Though both would need transmission ability upgrades. We've also changed the target because the earlier message was sent towards a globular cluster, which now we realize is a terrible target because globular cluster stars don't host planets. So Jonathan Jung and some co-authors have some evidence that the most likely place to find a lot of habitable planets would be, say, in a ring 13,000 light years from the center of the galaxy. And so we would like to choose a target, to choose some stars in that dense but not too dense region of the galaxy.
So assuming that there is someone or something out there to receive and understand the message, what is the advantage of having an updated version for them to hear or see as opposed to using what we've used in the past?
Well, certainly in terms of location, using globular clusters instead of pulsars is better, because globular clusters are much easier seen all across the galaxy. They're less prone to change, whereas the original pulsars that were used, they can spin down, they can change their axis. And there's so many pulsars in the galaxy that the extraterrestrial technological civilization would probably have a lot of trouble figuring out which few pulsars we were referring to. So this will make a big difference.
It helps somebody out there know where we are.
Right.
So how confident are you that there is someone or something out there to receive these messages?
Not confident at all. This is definitely throwing a message in a bottle into the ocean. But we're a lot more confident that life could be out there. It sure appears that in terms of solar systems, with the extrasolar planets that we've found, that there are plenty of extrasolar planets around stars like ours, even though we've found probably a majority of extrasolar planet systems are different from ours. There's still plenty of stars hosting planets that we expect that there will be a lot of Earth-like planets in the galaxy. And that's something we had no idea of in 1974.
So there are planets that could potentially have the right conditions, could be habitable. Whether or not they are inhabited is the real question here.
That's becoming the real question. And whether or not those civilizations have survived long enough to, we wonder. An important part of the equation that would describe how many civilizations are out there, the Drake equation, an important unknown parameter is what is the lifetime of each civilization. We don't know that.
All right, Stuart, thanks a lot for your time. Thanks for the conversation. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
Stuart F. Taylor is an exoplanet astronomer and an affiliate with the SETI Institute.